Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
Hello again, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans in Washington. Millions of people voted on the travel website TripAdvisor for their top cities to visit in the world. Today on the program, we will hear about 12 of TripAdvisor's top 22 most popular cities to visit. We begin with number 11.
Number 11, New York City, United States. More than 50 million people visit New York City every year. The five areas of New York have many of the most recognized attractions in the world. Walk across the Brooklyn Bridge to get a beautiful view of the Manhattan skyline, or observe the city, like King Kong, from the top of the Empire State Building. Eat famous New York pizza or bagels. Take a ride on the Staten Island Ferry or a run in the 340-hectare Central Park. And make sure to visit the internationally known Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Number 12, Zermatt, Switzerland. This alpine Swiss city is most famous for the Matterhorn, a huge, jagged mountain with one of the highest summits in Europe. In its shadow is tiny Zermatt, a car-free town of just over 5,000 people. While winter is the most popular time for world-class skiing, summer is a great time to hike the surrounding Alps.
Number 13, Barcelona, Spain. This magical city in the Catalonia region of Spain has everything from expansive beaches to never-ending tapas to Antoni Gaudi's imaginative architecture. Take an hour-long train ride to the mountain of Montserrat and see the amazing rock formations that influenced Gaudi's work.
Number 14, Göreme, Turkey. This city is home to Göreme National Park, an open-air museum and UNESCO World Heritage Site. Visit the 10th and 11th century cave churches that display rare examples of Byzantine art. Göreme is a popular destination for backpackers, travelers often on months-long trips. The area is also an excellent place to enjoy Turkish food and wine.
Number 15, Ubud, Indonesia. Tourists flood this village on the Indonesian island of Bali. Elizabeth Gilbert's best-selling book, Eat, Pray, Love, featured the quiet place. Meet monkeys up close at Ubud's famous Sacred Monkey Forest. Then take a walk through small villages and rice paddies. Finish your day with a traditional Balinese music and dance performance.
Number 16. Cuzco, Peru. The former capital of the Inca Empire, Cuzco welcomes many tourists on their walk up to Machu Picchu. The remains of the ancient Incan city are high in the Peruvian Andes Mountains. Cuzco is also close to many other historic sites and ruins, including Sacsayhuaman. The walled complex was the location of a bloody fight between Inca leaders and Spanish conquerors in 1536.
Number 17, St. Petersburg, Russia. Founded in 1703, St. Petersburg was the imperial capital for two centuries. The city offers a calm beauty and a wide collection of priceless art. The Hermitage Museum's permanent collection alone includes more than 3 million works of art. Night owls should make sure to stay up late for the raising of the bridges.
Number 18. Bangkok, Thailand. Thailand's capital is one of the most tourist-friendly places in Southeast Asia. This city has possibilities for every interest and budget. Bangkok's numerous Buddhist temples and royal palaces will keep tourists busy for days. Whether in a fine restaurant or from a street cook, Thai food is some of the best in the world. For a different view of the city, take a canal tour.
Number 19. Kathmandu, Nepal. On April 25th, a strong earthquake killed thousands and destroyed many ancient sites in Nepal's capital. Efforts are underway to save and repair many of the Hindu and Buddhist temple complexes throughout the city. Kathmandu has recovered from devastating earthquakes in the past. In 1934, an earthquake destroyed much of the city. Over the next few years, Kathmandu will rise again.
Number 20. Athens, Greece. It is the birthplace of Western civilization, now almost 4,000 years old. Explore the Acropolis in Athens. Then visit the new Acropolis Museum to truly appreciate the ancient settlement. Walk in Socrates' footsteps around the Agora, the center of social activity in ancient Greece. VOA Learning English Facebook fan Tonia is an Athenian. Beyond the Acropolis, she suggests visitors explore the flea markets of Monastiraki and Plaka.
Number 21. Budapest, Hungary. Budapest is known as the city of naturally warm pools of water called spas. The Hungarian capital features 16th century Turkish pools as well as neo-Baroque medicinal spas. Check out Rudas Baths, a thermal bath built in 1550 during Ottoman rule. Beautiful Budapest is also a longtime foodie city. Try local specialties like Hungarian goulash, rich with beef, onions, potatoes, and spices.
Number 22. Queenstown, New Zealand. On New Zealand's beautiful South Island, Queenstown is one of the top places in the world for hiking, boating, and skiing. Nearby Milford Sound offers the peaceful beauty for which New Zealand is famous. Perhaps the most famous New Zealand product is the Lord of the Rings movies. Take a road trip and explore places where the movie was filmed.
And that's our program for today. Join us tomorrow on As It Is to hear about Travel Advisor's top 10 travel destinations in the world. I'm Jonathan Evans. Thanks for listening.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From From VOA Learning English, this is In the News. United States officials say the Defense Department is considering sending military ships and aircraft to test Chinese claims in the South China Sea. Officials say the U.S. deployment would forcefully demonstrate the right of shipping to move freely through the waterway. The move would be a direct challenge to China and its efforts to manufacture islands in the disputed waters. "We claim the right of innocent passage in such areas, and we exercise that right regularly, both in the South China Sea and globally." Those are the words of the U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense for Asian and Pacific Security Affairs, David Scheer. He told a Senate hearing that, "We are going to continue exercising that right, both on the surface of the waters and in the air." China's foreign ministry said this week it was extremely concerned about the reported U.S. plan. The foreign ministry said it has asked U.S. officials to explain the comments. A U.S. Defense Department spokesman says the key point is that the waterways and air above the Spratly Islands are international. Colonel Steve Warren adds that the U.S. Navy routinely inspects the area. In his words, international law does not recognize man-made islands as an extension of the mainland, and in this case, nor do we. Satellite images have documented China's development of four coral reefs since President Xi Jinping took office in 2012. The work is taking place in waters where China and its neighbors have competing territorial claims. The development has included structures from shipping piers to landing areas for helicopters. U.S. State Department officials have repeatedly asked China to stop the work. Last week, the Reuters News Service reported evidence of an expansion of land area at two Vietnamese-controlled reefs. Reuters said the American-based Center for Strategic and International Studies provided satellite pictures to support the claim. Assistant Secretary of State Daniel Russell prepared a written statement for the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He wrote that a U.S. presence is needed in the South China Sea to ensure that everyone with an interest in the area follows international law. In his words, "No matter how much sand you pile on a reef, you can't manufacture sovereignty." The South China Sea is one of the busiest areas for shipping in the world. U.S. interests are directly affected if China were to enforce control over the area. Mr. Russell told lawmakers that the United States must use, in his words, all instruments of national power to push back on what he called problematic behavior. David Scheer told U.S. lawmakers that at the current rate, Chinese crews will complete work on an airfield on one of the reefs in 2017 or 2018. Some lawmakers expressed concern that what China is building could be used to enforce control of the sea. They said U.S. efforts to stop the work might be too little, too late. And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
And now, the weekly VOA Special English Program of American Stories. Our story today is called A Municipal Report. It was written by O. Henry and first published in 1904. Here is Shep O'Neill with the story.
It was raining as I got off the train in Nashville, Tennessee. A slow, gray rain. I was tired, so I went straight to my hotel. A big, heavy man was walking up and down in the hotel lobby. Something about the way he moved made me think of a hungry dog looking for a bone. He had a big, fat, red face and a sleepy expression in his eyes. He introduced himself as Wentworth Caswell, Major Wentworth Caswell, from a fine southern family. Caswell pulled me into the hotel's barroom and yelled for a waiter. We ordered drinks. While we drank, he talked continually about himself, his family, his wife, and her family. He said his wife was rich. He showed me a handful of silver coins that he pulled from his coat pocket. By this time, I had decided that I wanted no more of him. I said goodnight. I went up to my room and looked out the window. It was 10 o'clock, but the town was silent. A nice, quiet place, I said to myself as I got ready for bed. Just an ordinary, sleepy, southern town. I was born in the South myself, but I live in New York now. I write for a large magazine. My boss had asked me to go to Nashville. The magazine had received some stories and poems from a writer in Nashville named Azalea Adair. The editor liked her work very much. The publisher asked me to get her to sign an agreement to write only for his magazine. I left the hotel at 9 o'clock the next morning to find Miss Adair. It was still raining. As soon as I stepped outside, I met Uncle Caesar. He was a big old black man with fuzzy gray hair. Uncle Caesar was wearing the strangest coat I had ever seen. It must have been a military officer's coat. It was very long, and when it was new, it had been gray. But now, rain, sun, and age had made it a rainbow of colors. Only one of the buttons was left. It was yellow, and as big as a 50-cent coin. Uncle Caesar stood near a horse and carriage. He opened the carriage door and said softly, "Step right in, sir. I'll take you anywhere in the city." "I want to go to 861 Jasmine Street," I said, and I started to climb into the carriage. But the old man stopped me. "Why do you want to go there, sir?" "What business is it of yours?" I said angrily. Uncle Caesar relaxed and smiled. "Nothing, sir, but it's a lonely part of town. Just step in and I'll take you there right away." 861 Jasmine Street had been a fine house once, but now it was old and dying. I got out of the carriage. "That will be $2, sir," Uncle Caesar said. I gave him two $1 bills. As I handed them to him, I noticed that one had been torn in half and fixed with a piece of blue paper. Also, the upper right-hand corner was missing. Azalea Adair herself opened the door when I knocked. She was about 50 years old. Her white hair was pulled back from her small, tired face. She wore a pale yellow dress. It was old, but very clean. Azalea Adair led me into her living room. A damaged table, three chairs, and an old red sofa were in the center of the floor. Azalea Adair and I sat down at the table and began to talk. I told her about the magazine's offer. She told me about herself. She was from an old southern family. Her father had been a judge. Azalea Adair told me she had never traveled or even attended school. Her parents taught her at home with private teachers. We finished our meeting. I promised to return with the agreement the next day and rose to leave. At that moment, someone knocked at the back door. Azalea Adair whispered a soft apology and went to answer the caller. She came back a minute later with bright eyes and pink cheeks. She looked 10 years younger. "You must have a cup of tea before you go," she said. She shook a little bell on the table, and a small black girl about 12 years old ran into the room. Azalea Adair opened a tiny old purse and took out a dollar bill. It had been fixed with a piece of blue paper, and the upper right-hand corner was missing. It was the dollar I had given to Uncle Caesar. "Go to Mr. Baker's store, Impey," she said, "and get me 25 cents worth of tea and 10 cents worth of sugar cakes, and please hurry." The child ran out of the room. We heard the back door close. Then the girl screamed, her cry mixed with a man's angry voice. Azalea Adair stood up. Her face showed no emotion as she left the room. I heard the man's rough voice and her gentle one. Then a door slammed, and she came back into the room.
"I am sorry, but I won't be able to offer you any tea after all," she said. "It seems that Mr. Baker has no more tea. Perhaps he will find some for our visit tomorrow."
We said goodbye. I went back to my hotel. Just before dinner, Major Wentworth Caswell found me. It was impossible to avoid him. He insisted on buying me a drink and pulled 2 $1 bills from his pocket. Again, I saw a torn dollar fixed with blue paper with a corner missing. It was the one I gave Uncle Caesar. How strange, I thought. I wondered how Caswell got it. Uncle Caesar was waiting outside the hotel the next afternoon. He took me to Miss Adair's house and agreed to wait there until we had finished our business. Azalea Adair did not look well. I explained the agreement to her. She signed it. Then, as she started to rise from the table, Azalea Adair fainted and fell to the floor. I picked her up and carried her to the old red sofa. I ran to the door and yelled to Uncle Caesar for help. He ran down the street. 5 minutes later, he was back with a doctor. The doctor examined Miss Adair and turned to the old black driver. "Uncle Caesar," he said, "run to my house and ask my wife for some milk and some eggs. Hurry." Then the doctor turned to me. "She does not get enough to eat," he said. "She has many friends who want to help her, but she is proud. Mrs. Caswell will accept help only from that old black man. He was once her family's slave." "Mrs. Caswell?" I said in surprise. "I thought she was Azalea Adair." "She was," the doctor answered. until she married Wentworth Caswell 20 years ago. But he's a hopeless drunk. He takes even the small amount of money that Uncle Caesar gives her. After the doctor left, I heard Caesar's voice in the other room.
Did he take all the money I gave you yesterday, Mrs. Elia? Yes, Caesar, I heard her answer softly. He took both dollars.
I went into the room and gave Azalea a dare $50. I told her it was from the magazine. Then Uncle Caesar drove me back to the hotel. A few hours later, I went out for a walk before dinner. A crowd of people was talking excitedly in front of a store. I pushed my way into the store. Major Caswell was lying on the floor. He was dead. Someone had found his body on the street. He had been killed in a fight. In fact, his hands were still closed into tight fists. But as I stood near his body, Caswell's right hand opened. Something fell from it and rolled near my feet. I put my foot on it, then picked it up and put it in my pocket. People said they believed a thief had killed him. They said Caswell had been showing everyone that he had $50, but when he was found, he had no money on him. I left Nashville the next morning. As the train crossed a river, I took out of my pocket the object that had dropped from Caswell's dead hand. I threw it into the river below. It was a button, a yellow button, the one from Uncle Caesar's coat.
You have just heard the story, A Municipal Report. It was written by O. Henry and adapted for Special English by Donna DeSanctis. Your storyteller was Shep O'Neill. This is Susan Clark. Join us again next week at this time for another American story on the Voice of America.